team. I am Steve Gerwick, along with my tag team partner, Frank D. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, where we tell it like it is. Real quickly, I want to remind everybody, for all your pro wrestling news, information, rumors, awards, Hall of Fame, TV ratings, pay-per-view results, definitely check out Gerwick.net. You can go there and check out our audio section, where you can hear previous podcasts Frank D and I have done on the Gerwick Report. Got the Body Slam podcast, previous interviews we've done. Definitely check out www.gerwick.net. As always, we've got a plethora of topics to get into. And as always, welcome back, Frank D. How are you doing today, Frank D?
I'm doing great, Steve. It's a copacetic Tuesday. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing really good, and good to talk to you again. And we've got a number of issues and topics to discuss, as always. And, of course, on Sunday was the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Want to talk about that. Now, I didn't get a chance to see the show live. I had kind of a family emergency pop up. But I was getting tweets and text messages during the pay-per-view, Frank, that some people were having streaming issues with the pay-per-view. Did you experience any problems watching the live broadcast?
Actually, I did. I had several instances where the PlayStation 3 would actually stop during the show, and it would actually fast forward. I noticed this happening around the Rusev-Ron Killings match, and then it happened again during the Wyatt-Cena Cage match, and you know, when the match came back, when the end of the match came up with the kid at the bottom of the stairs, that's when they popped back on. So, yeah, I was experiencing that, and it was very surprising because initially during a lot of the live streaming, I don't have any issues. And I didn't have any issues during the Hall of Fame or the WrestleMania 30 broadcast. So, very, very interesting. But I know for a fact that a lot of other people on different devices like the Roku and Google Chrome and all these, you know, Xbox One and Xbox 360, they were also experiencing issues as well.
Actually, I was experiencing a little issue myself last night. I was trying to watch the replay of the pay-per-view, and I found it, and at first it said it could not load, and then I went back and I tried it a little bit later, and then it loaded. And I'm not sure what the problem was, if people were all jumping on the replay all at the same time, but it finally came up, and I got a chance to watch the pay-per-view. Now, the thing that struck me about this show was I didn't think it was a very good card going into the show. Not a lot of matches really called me out and said this is going to be a great show, but I did want to see the six-man tag match with the Shield against the Evolution, and I did want to see the steel cage match with Bray Wyatt against John Cena. Really, Frank, if you take those two matches away, and I think you could easily argue that Wyatt versus Cena was nothing special, you know, you take those matches off the show, and because the main event to me was very lackluster with Daniel Bryan defending the championships against Kane. I didn't care much for the undercard. We had a handicap match. We had a three-way match to start that the announcers didn't even know what the stipulation was. And so if they don't know what the stipulation was, well, you know, why should I care about this match? I think overall, Frank, when I watched the replay of Extreme Rules, I was not blown away by it. I didn't think it was anything special. To me, it just really seemed like just another Raw or SmackDown we were watching.
Yeah, WWE should really think about just abandoning this whole concept of Extreme Rules. I know that this pay-per-view was born out of One Night Stand that they were doing with ECW back in the day, but this show was it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either. You know what I mean? It's like right in the middle. And I think the Evolution versus Shield match probably should have been the main event of that show. It should have been the main event. The Daniel Bryan Kane match had no heat going into it. And surprisingly, you know, Steve, during the six-man tag, outside of Evolution's entrance, they really had no heat during the first 10, 20 minutes of that match. That's when I had the issue of pulling a Sheamus. It was, you know, during that match. I actually fell asleep during that match because it was the first 10 minutes of it was boring. And it didn't really pick up until the end with, the, you know, with them fighting out in the crowd and all that. But it just, to me, it just didn't live up to the hype that it was surrounding it. I mean, hopefully, you know, it looks like they're, after watching Raw last night, it looks like they're going to go in that direction still. And, you know, if it was me personally, I would have booked War Games. But, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it was. I think you told me that when you watched the show, it put you to sleep. And then the next day, we learned that Sheamus actually fell asleep during the Rusev handicap match. And then it just reminded me of like our old friend Dominic Valente, that sometimes with the pay per views, and he would say he'd fall asleep during the show.
Right.
I don't think it, for me, it reached that level. And I agree with what you were saying before. It wasn't a good show. It wasn't really a bad show. It just, to me, it was just a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, had I ordered the pay-per-view, if I had it plunked down, you know, the $50 or $60, whatever it is now in SD or HD, I would have really felt ripped off. Being part of the WWE Network package, and it's $9.99 a month, I guess I can't really complain that I feel it ripped off, but it just didn't seem like it was anything special. It just seemed like it was just there. It was one of those pay-per-views kind of between shows. I mean, right now we're kind of in between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. We've got, Payback coming up. We've got, Night of Champions and Money in the Bank. These B pay-per-views. Sometimes they're just kind of there, Frank, and they're just nothing special about it. And I agree with Frankie. The concept of this pay-per-view seems outdated, although I guess they did get a few ECW chants, but overall, I just wasn't impressed with this show at all.
Yeah, the thing about it is that I'm not really going to complain too much, because $9.99 is not really a bad deal to get these B shows. These are pay-per-views that myself and probably a lot of other people wouldn't normally even buy by itself. So it's great to have them as part of a WWE Network package. I get the WWE Network package simply to watch the old stuff. Anyway, the new pay-per-views are just a bonus. But I can really care less about it. You know, I'm happy that they uploaded Clash of Champions yesterday, and you know, being able to watch the 400 plus pay-per-views they have in the vault, that's cool enough for me. The Payback and Extreme Rules is just a bonus. But you know, outside of that, man, I mean, that Kane versus Daniel Bryan match just got awful. It was just a horrendous match. The Wyatt, you know, Bray Wyatt versus John Cena match was awful. I mean, why even have it in a cage if you're going to have that much interference to begin with? I thought the cage was to keep people out.
Used to be that way.
But not anymore after seeing this match. And then they had the demonic kid at the end doing something about the Exorcist. That was crazy stuff, man. It was really crazy, crazy stuff.
And again, I go back to we talked about with WrestleMania. I thought that was a time for Bray Wyatt to go over John Cena. John Cena would not have been hurt by losing on the big stage. I mean, Cena is Super Cena. He could easily bounce back from losing. To me, the way they did this feud, having Cena win at WrestleMania and then Wyatt winning this really dull cage match, I guess. If after watching Extreme Rules, I would say it was a dull show. That was the adjective that came to mind after I watched it, I watched the replay of it. It was dull. I can't say it was good. I can't say it was bad, but it was just dull. And really, the cage match was very dull. It wasn't exciting. As you said, the concept was backwards in that it was supposed to keep people out of the cage, but yet, the Wyatts got into the cage. They were interfering. You had John Cena, climbing out the cage, and they were like basically climbing the cage and pushing him back in. I just think, Bray Wyatt wins this match, and yet, Frank, I don't think it means anything, and it doesn't elevate the guy. And just having a feud with John Cena doesn't necessarily elevate you, gets you a high profile on the show. But to me, at the end of the day, I don't think this elevated Bray Wyatt at all. And to me, that's the guy you want to make a star right now. He's the guy you're investing time with, one of your major stars, and at the end of the day, I don't think Bray Wyatt's being elevated at all.
No, he's not. I mean, the time for Bray Wyatt to have won was at WrestleMania, when you had more eyeballs on your product. That was the time for him to beat Super Cena. You know, we've had this problem with Cena before, where, if you remember, Steve, back in 2010 at SummerSlam, it was a faction called the Nexus that went against the WWE team, which was led by John Cena, and you remember Daniel Bryan actually made his return that night to the company, and they had that match, and Super Cena beat the Nexus, and the group was never right. Wade Barrett has never recovered from that, portion of his career to this day. up until now. Same thing with the Wyatt family. I think that if Bray would have won at WrestleMania, they would have had the rubber match, you know, here at Extreme Rules in the cage, and Cena could have easily got his heat back. But they've done it the other way around, and it doesn't mean anything. I don't think the cage match victory, and the reason why, to me, it doesn't really mean anything is because it was a gimmick match. It's not like he went out there and beat John Cena cleanly. He had to do it with the other members of the Wyatt family, and then with a kid at the end. It doesn't mean nothing. So there you go, wasted opportunity. You could have made this guy into a huge superstar, and you're going to turn something that was actually kind of cool and creepy, you're about to turn it into the Dungeon of Doom, where it's just stupid.
I totally agree with you. And as you said, the main event was nothing special with Daniel Bryan and Kane. And I guess, what, early now, Frank, we're expecting a rematch at the next pay-per-view between these two guys?
From what I understand on reading growing.net, you know, the source for all wrestling news, what I understand after the show was they filmed the last part of that pay-per-view with Kane standing on top and his music playing because they didn't know whether the real-life situation was going to happen with Dave Bautista and Bryan Danielson, if that match was actually going to happen at Payback. Looks like it's not going to happen. And that's the reason why they went ahead and had Kane sit up at the end and his pyro went off and all of that, because they had to leave you with a hook.
We'll get into Bautista because I think we have there's some speculation about his future with WWE. We're going to get into Bautista a little bit and go into his situation. But to kind of finish up with Extreme Rules here, a couple of thoughts, and then we'll move on because, honestly, I don't think this was a show to really embellish here on the podcast. But Rusev, I like Rusev, but I don't really see money in him. As you said, he's kind of their version of Samoa Joe. Personally, I'd rather have Samoa Joe. If that's the plan, is that he's going to be their Samoa Joe, you know what? Just go get me Samoa Joe. I just don't see long. I just don't see him long term being a big time player in WWE. He kind of echoes a little bit Big E. That, you know, Big E initially that, you know, they're going to give him a little rub, a little push. He's the next big guy that they're going to devote a lot of time and attention to, but I just don't see him getting over. The one that's going to probably get over in that group is probably Lana.
Yeah, a lot. Well, here's the deal. The thing with Samoa Joe, and I compare the two, Samoa Joe and Rusev, is this. The music is very similar. Very similar music. I'm talking about Samoa Joe's old theme, not the rap version, but his old theme in TNA. Very, very similar. And also, Samoa Joe at this point, unfortunately, and I'm a huge show fan, but I have to be honest, that's what we do on this podcast. We straight shoot. So like it is. Samoa Joe is damaged goods at this point. Samoa Joe has this, he has the stigmatitis of TNA all over him. And there is no washing that off overnight. It's going to take years to get that off of you. And Joe has just been wasting away and wasting away down there. Rusev is a homegrown talent of WWE. He's somebody who was already, you know, was working down there at NXT, and he's already on the level. So I see him going big. I don't see him working, getting over with the current gimmick that they put on him. I don't see that working. This is a very outdated whole thing. It's just outdated. It doesn't work now. So that's going to be, in my opinion, that's going to be his biggest detriment, is going to be the current gimmick that they have him portraying on TV. You know, in my opinion. I mean, he will be, I do see him being money one day. I do see him being built up and possibly going up against, if he's still the champion, up against Daniel Bryan. I do see that happening. But Lana is going to be a very big deal. I can probably see her on Total Divas or something like that. She's a very, very attractive lady.
Yeah, and I like the Deborah McMichael outfit she's wearing, too. Showing off the legs. She's really got it.
She has the whole package. Way, my opinion, way more attractive than Deborah McMichael could ever dream of being.
Probably so. But I got to say, Deborah back in the day sure had the body.
Yeah, Deborah had two things that we all would look at, and that was pretty much it.
As what Jerry Lawler would say, puppies.
Right. Well, I don't call. I wouldn't call hers puppies. I call them pit bulls, but that's my opinion.
And the other thought real quickly on Extreme Rules is Big E. And Big E, of course, lost his name. Now he's lost the championship.
Yeah.
He lost. Wade Barrett won the tournament to be the number one contender. Glad to see they at least did something with that. You know, they had weeks of Raw where they were going to determine who was going to be the number one contender. So Barrett wins, then he goes to the pay-per-view, wins the pay-per-view. But the two thoughts in watching that match was, you know, Big E's going nowhere fast. The champion, 6 months with the championship meant absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Couldn't even get the title at WrestleMania on the show. And for me, Wade Barrett, I like this bad news Barrett thing. It's okay. Better than nothing.
Yeah.
But to me, Frank, I mean, Wade Barrett was something a couple of years ago, and it just seems like he's just kind of going through the motions right now.
Yeah. You know, like I just said earlier about Cena with Nexus, that is where you killed Wade Barrett right there. And Wade Barrett's never recovered at all. Unfortunately for Big E Langston, you know, I prefer that name over Big E, because when I'm thinking of Big E, what exactly is a Big E? What is that? I remember back in the day, the rapper Big E Smalls, but that's it. Now, with Big E Langston, I think that the reason why he's not over now, I mean, I've seen stuff, Steve, of this guy down in NXT before he came to the main roster. This guy was over, doing a 5 count and all that stuff. But they brought him up, and he was immediately shackled with Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee. And I think that was more of a detriment than it was, you know, a helpful thing for him, because he hasn't recovered on that. You know, I thought he was supposed to work with Cena when he first came up to the roster. And he came out there, and his the look he has, the colors and all that, was very reminiscent of Kofi Kingston. And it's just, right now, I don't see much of the guy. The guy doesn't have any, to me, doesn't really have any charisma. He doesn't really come across well on TV. And I don't necessarily know if that's his fault or if it's just the crap that they have him doing. Just like Kofi Kingston. It's like Kofi Kingston, was jobbed out last night to Rusev. And I'm thinking about these guys, Steve, you know, like a Kofi Kingston or Big E or Titus O'Neil. Guys they're not doing anything with. Guys who, you know, Mark Henry, who are African-American or whatever. You know, if you don't have anything for these guys to do, and you need another faction there, why not, you know, have Teddy Long come back, Theodore Long come back, and why don't you just reform the Nation of Domination or something with these particular guys?
I think they did the Nation of Domination a more edgy time. I'm not sure they want to go down that road, although...
Well, they're already going down that road right now, though. I mean, because Rob, but they're already going down that road when you have Vladimir Putin on your screen.
I was just going to say that. I guess they're pushing the envelope a little bit with Putin. But again, as you said, we had the problems with the Russians. That was more 80s type. I mean, all the Russians we saw, Nikita Koloff, Ivan Koloff, Volkov. I mean, all these guys we had before. Now we're going to push the envelope with Russia right now. I agree. It just seems like it's outdated. And I know we're having, you know, potentially a new conflict with Russia all of a sudden. But... Right. I just don't see it right now. I just don't think it's going to work in 2014. I don't think anybody really understands. I mean, you go on the street, do you understand the Ukraine-Russia situation right now? Probably not.
I don't think anybody really gives a damn, yeah, honestly.
And they don't give a damn, A, and B, they don't understand what's going on anyway. So, I mean, why push that card right now? Is that going to benefit Rusev right now?
Well, you know, if you want to sum that up right quick, I don't want to get political about it, but why the hell are we even involved in this conflict to begin with?
Well, that's well said too.
You know, it's not if we would stick to our own country, maybe we would get a lot of problems settled that we already have over here. Instead, we're always sticking our nose in everybody else's business where it doesn't belong. That's Ukraine and Russia. Let them deal with their own crap.
Absolutely. I mean, I just saw a stat. You know, 92 million Americans out of work, and yet the unemployment rate 6%.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, crazy.
That's some good math.
Yeah, it's kind of like WWE saying the number one show on the network when they had the Ultimate Legend was Legend's House. Yeah.
It's almost like WCW's numbers back in the day. That's what, look where they are today. So,
right.
I don't understand, you know, pushing this button with Putin. I didn't like that at all. You know, it's just getting to be too late with Wade Barrett, as you said. He meant something a couple of years ago. Right now, I don't think this gimmick is gonna propel him. I think this is his fourth time with the IC Championship.
I think it is. But let me say this right quick too, while it's on my mind. I think a big another big problem right now with certain talents, and I don't even like this guy, but I'm gonna put him in a mold as well. Guys like Alberto Del Rio, guys like Kofi Kingston, Wade Barrett, all these different talents. The problem that we're experiencing right now is when they ended the brand extension, everybody got tossed around and got, this is the problem. You have the brand extension, you have SmackDown on its own, Raw on its own. You have one world champion over there, one world champion on Raw. You have more opportunities for guys to get more exposure. And I think that's really hurting the product right now. You had everybody looking at you one way with the brand extension. You had the SmackDown guys, you had the Raw guys. And you don't have that anymore. And everybody's just all the same, but there is no brand extension anymore. Less guys are going to be on TV. Then you put them on the main event, or you put them on Superstars, where nobody is watching these shows. So when you look at these guys, you look at a Titus O'Neil, or you look at anybody, oh, that's just a guy from Superstars. Oh, well, Big E was the Intercontinental Champion, but he's on Superstars against Damian Sandow. I mean, look at Damian Sandow, for God's sakes. Look at Sandow, Dolph Ziggler, all these different guys. Ziggler last year was just world champion. And look at him now. Just a job boy.
Not even on the pay-per-view.
Not even on pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, you're doing nothing with these guys whatsoever. And I don't know, you know, maybe we can pose to the listeners here. I, for one, think they need to bring back the brand extension, because I think it gives people more opportunity. I don't like the fact that there's just one world heavyweight champion carrying around two belts.
Which is stupid if the titles have been unified.
Exactly. I don't like that. I think that in a few months it's gonna split off anyways again. But there should be the world championship on SmackDown, because in my opinion, if the world heavyweight championship hadn't been on SmackDown, there never would have been a rated R superstar named Edge. That whole thing never would have happened if there hadn't been that world championship. So while John Cena was doing his thing on Raw, Edge was carrying SmackDown on his back for years. So, I mean, you had Edge over there, you had Batista over there, but Batista's initial run. You know, you had all this different stuff going on, and I think that they are really, really messing up right now with just having everybody on the same show. But going back to Extreme Rules right quick, there was a Divas match, if you remember, for the Divas Championship. You had Daphne versus Tamina Snuka. Oh, I'm sorry.
Daphne.
Paige, there you go. She's out there screaming like Daphne. So I thought it was Daphne I was watching out there. It looks stupid as hell to me for you to be screaming. It just looks dumb. So I'm going to just call her Daphne.
To your point on SmackDown and the brand extension, I tend to agree with you. And I'm one of the things I wanted to mention on this podcast was the SmackDown rating. Last week was a 1.77, the lowest of 2014. And then the SmackDown before the Extreme Rules pay-per-view was 1.67.
Whew.
So these numbers are getting to be – you got to be questioning what's going on here. And again, you know, it's – what is SmackDown? SmackDown is a weaker version of Raw. I mean, Raw is live. It's the A show. B show is SmackDown. It's pre-taped the next night. Means nothing. It's just there. I mean, I know very few people that say, you know, I'll talking to friends, oh, I'll watch Raw, see what's going on. But do you watch SmackDown? No. I don't know anybody really, you know, honestly, that will watch Raw, other than maybe to turn it on every now and then just to see what's on there. But I think they have to pay a little more attention to SmackDown, because it is, I mean, they still want to keep this show, and they're negotiating their television package with NBC Universal and other potential homes for their programming. But Frank, you know, when it gets down to 1.67, I think they better pay a little bit closer attention to what's really going on that show right now.
Well, you know, I remember back in the day, Steve, where SmackDown was the number one show. during the initial run of the brand extension, you had The Rock over there. You had Chris Jericho. You had Kurt Angle. You had Hulk Hogan. You had all these different talents over there, and SmackDown was actually better than Raw for a long time there. It was the A show. And I remember even before that, during the Attitude Era, that SmackDown, you know, had a lot of great moments on there. SmackDown used to be treated with a lot more respect than it is now. I mean, SmackDown right now is the equivalent of WCW Thunder when Thunder went to Wednesday nights. That's how it is now. I mean, it's just, SmackDown is just bad. And it's just, and you know, the problem with SmackDown and Raw, they have that HD set, and it just looks the same. It's just, it, besides them changing the ring apron, the shows just, they look the same to me. And there's no point of watching SmackDown. There's no big stars going to be on SmackDown. And I think that's why nobody watches the show anymore.
Yeah, I remember it was, what, The Rock show?
It was The Rock. SmackDown. There you go.
Yeah.
The first match on SmackDown, if you remember, when they actually did the pilot for SmackDown first, if you remember that, that was the formation of the corporate ministry. But then the actual episode, first episode of SmackDown, the first match you had on there for the main event was for the WWF Championship. You had Triple H versus The Rock, Shawn Michaels as the special referee, which is where Shawn Michaels kicked The Rock during the spot with the people's elbow. That's what you used to get on SmackDown. You used to get Brock Lesnar and the Big Show, Brock Lesnar suplexing the Big Show, and the ring breaks. You don't have stuff like that anymore.
Well, you remember, Frank, the idea with SmackDown was it was on network television.
Right.
You know, they were on UPN, they were on CW. And then I knew when they went to cable, it would lose a lot of the emphasis, because the idea of the SmackDown originally was, let's get back on network television. You know, we don't have Saturday night's main event anymore, and Raw and primetime wrestling were always USA Network. So let's get back on over-the-air TV antenna style television. And now that they've been on, what, Sci-Fi, there's no emphasis on SmackDown. It's just another show every week.
Yeah, and look what happened when they brought back, you know, talking about over-the-air TV. Look at what happened when they brought back Saturday Night's Main Event. It's just it didn't work because your product is so stale now.
And overexposed.
Overexposed. Nobody, the Saturday Night's Main Event used to be a big deal because it would be on once a month.
Right.
And there was no Raw or SmackDown. It was just you had Primetime, you had Wrestling Challenge, Superstars, and that was it.
And most of the Superstars and Challenge matches were squash matches.
Exactly.
So suddenly, all of a sudden, on Saturday's main event, you were seeing the main stars wrestle each other.
Exactly.
That's what was special about it. Now you're seeing it on Raw. You see it on SmackDown. Now if you have the network, you can watch pay-per-views live. And there's nothing special about it, and there's nothing special about SmackDown now either. It's just another show.
Yes.
Kind of unfortunate, but
I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is, Steve. It's like, you know, like we were talking offline. When you have a live Monday Night Raw going on last night, and yet I'm watching Clash of Champions on the network, you're watching Extreme Rules, getting ready to do the podcast, that ought to show you what we think of the current product.
Well, you know, I only had enough time to watch one or the other, and I figured we were probably going to spend more time talking about Extreme Rules than Raw. But, yeah, it definitely speaks to, on a weekly basis, the Raw product doesn't blow me away. Obviously, SmackDown is the same product now with the brand extension gone. And I think that's good. That's a good point you brought up there with the brand extension. I think we should make that a poll.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll do that when I take down the pay-per-view polls is to put up there. Should they bring back the brand extension? Because if you don't, without the brand extension, Raw and SmackDown are the same shows.
Exactly, and I had a decision last night. You know, I was either going to watch Raw or I was going to watch season finale of Bates Motel, and I watched Bates Motel, and I don't regret doing it because Raw sucked. But we're going to get into that.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into Batista's situation because it kind of ties in a little bit with what happened at Extreme Rules. We had Evolution against The Shield, which is one of the bigger, more high-profile matches on the show. It was a six-man tag, and there's some frustration with Batista right now. Batista came back, of course, earlier this year. He won the Royal Rumble. He earned the opportunity to be the main event at WrestleMania. that was the plan. Of course, remember, everybody remembers CM Punk was supposed to take on Triple H at WrestleMania. Now, he took his ball and went home. That changed the plans enormously because suddenly Daniel Bryan was shifted into the main event. And if Batista was guaranteed the championship or told he was going to win the championship at WrestleMania, that was out the window. Daniel Bryan was suddenly the champion. Daniel Bryan is on the pay-per-view defending the championship. And then we saw the reformation of Evolution. And right now there's a lot of talk that Batista doesn't want to work with Daniel Bryan, or that's not what he was told he would be doing right now. Frank, I'm not a big Batista fan necessarily, but at the end of the day, I kind of feel a little bit for Batista because, you know, he came back at this this was his opportunity to come back. They gave him the Royal Rumble. It looked like before the CM Punk situation, he probably was going to win the championship. And Batista's a little frustrated about what's going on currently in WWE and his character and his push right now.
Yeah, it's like you come in with, you know, this fanfare, and you're told, yeah, we're going to put the belt on you, we got all these plans for you, and now all of a sudden you're playing third-string member of Evolution. And your championship aspirations have gone down the drain because a guy named, you know, CM Punk took his ball and went home. Now, if I'm Batista, yeah, I'm going to be pissed off about this situation because it's not what I agreed to. You know, I agreed to come back, and I agreed, you know, we were going to put the world championship on me and all that. And I'm going to say it right now. I don't think Batista has a problem working with Bryan Danielson. I think that Batista would rather have been champion, and then he would have dropped it to Danielson. That's what I think would have happened.
I agree. I don't think he's got a problem with Daniel Bryan. I just think that was not the plan that he was told
exactly.
He was going to come back and get.
But I wonder who Batista. I wonder who they told him he was going to be working with, though.
Well, maybe they didn't have that. It's possible they didn't have that worked out. Or more than likely, if you think about it, if CM Punk doesn't leave, we probably don't have Evolution right now.
Right.
Batista probably beats Randy Orton for the championship, and then the next Extreme Rules main event probably would be Batista versus Randy Orton, too.
Yeah, and it's just that, you know, Randy Orton's stale. You know, he's stale. I mean, look how many months Randy Orton was the WWE champion, and he didn't do anything for numbers. You know, he kind of helped kill the pay-per-view process when you think about it. I mean, him and Big Show had that pay-per-view at Survivor Series. They did that match. And if Batista was told he was going to work with Orton, that would have been god-awful. I mean, who wants to see that? Who really wants to see this? Who wants to see this? I mean, you know, I read on the sheets there that Batista was told when he came back they were going to bring him a babyface. He did not want to be a babyface. He said it's not going to work. And now Batista's out there, Steve, and you heard the terminology of X-Pac heat, where you have that go-away heat, like we don't want to see you.
Right.
That's what Batista's picking up right now. Batista was picking up a lot of that at Extreme Rules.
It's a bad situation because I don't want to see Randy Orton versus Batista. Nobody wanted to see that at WrestleMania.
Right.
That was going to be the headline match. Had CM Punk stayed, that would have been the main event match. And as I said, Extreme Rules probably would have been Randy Orton against Batista all over again, the rematch. I don't want to see that either.
Yeah.
But I understand Batista's situation that say, hey, you know, I came back and I won the Rumble. I was supposed to headline WrestleMania and get the championship. I didn't get the championship. Now I'm part of Evolution. You brought Evolution back. Everybody knows Evolution is going to be a short-lived group. I'm not going to bring back Ric Flair to be a part of the group. We're just kind of three guys here. I guess we got 31 championship. That's great, but doesn't translate into anything right now. I'm here. I'm the one at the pay-per-view puts over Roman Reigns clean in the ring, and you know, there's talk he may be taking a break here at some point. There was talk that he was going to take a break after Extreme Rules as well. So I think everybody realizes Batista's only here for a short run. And I don't know. I understand, you know, plans change. But if you came back with the idea, hey, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, I'm going to get the title at WrestleMania, that's part of the lure of coming back to WWE. Vince says, hey, Batista, we need you to come back, okay? We're going to put you over at the Royal Rumble. You win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, and you get one more run as champion. What do you think? And he says, yeah, That sounds pretty good. Versus the situation now, he wins the Royal Rumble. His main event at WrestleMania was changed to a three-way, and now the next pay-per-view, he's in a six-man tag doing the job clean to Roman Reigns.
Right. And it's like, okay, out of all three members of Evolution, he's the one that's not protected. He's the one that took the fall cleanly. Not Orton, not Triple H. So if I'm
Triple H is basically part-time. He's only going to do two or three matches a year probably.
Right.
You know, and why couldn't he lose?
Yeah.
Right. They'd have Batista losing. Probably they know he's upset, and he may just take his ball and go home at some point.
Absolutely. I don't think Batista's going to be around as long as they thought. Because Batista right now can say, well, I'm going to leave because you guys breached contract.
Right.
This isn't what we agreed to.
I remember when he signed that two-year contract, I thought, there's no way he's going to be around for 2 years. And he's not going to do a full-time schedule for 2 years.
Yeah.
He's going to take breaks. He's going to do his movie projects, whatever, promoting the movie projects. He's going to be gone for long periods of time. And you might get, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 pay-per-view matches out of him, but you're not going to get him for 2 years. He's not going to be there for 2 years. And he may not be there for, I don't know, two more weeks, Frank, the way things are going.
Well,
we talked about possibly Batista against Daniel Bryan, but that, at least as of things stands now, it's probably going to be Bryan versus Kane again, and then you're probably going to do, I don't know, maybe probably do one more Evolution Shield match?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like after watching Raw last night. It's looking like, you know, next month Payback is going to be all about Extreme Rules rematches. That's where it looks like they're going with this. And I will tell you this. Batista is doing a lot more work than Brock Lesnar. I'll put it like that. He is around a little bit more than Brock Lesnar is. So
that's true.
You have to give him that credit.
That's a good point. And yet, you know, Brock Lesnar is the one that ended the Undertaker streak.
Right.
And then another guy. This is so funny to me. Is Sheamus falls asleep at the pay per view. So what do they do? Does he get punished? No, the next night on Raw, he wins a Battle Royal, which, I don't know, Frank, you're going to have to explain to me how you defend a championship in a Battle Royal, but last night we saw Dean Ambrose of The Shield lose his U.S. championship in a Battle Royal, and Sheamus, the guy who fell asleep at the pay-per-view, is your new U.S. champion.
You know, I don't blame Sheamus one bit for falling asleep.
I don't either, but at the same time, that's how they reward you. You get the U.S. championship.
That, you know what? That could have been very well the plan. I've been reading lately that they want to turn Sheamus heel. Personally, I would have turned Sheamus heel months ago when he came back. I would have had him be kind of a part of this authority group and go after Daniel Bryan. I thought that him and Daniel Bryan probably could do some good business together, but they haven't gone in that direction yet. It's going to be, I think, eventually, you know, in my opinion, Steve, if you were doing it correctly, back in the day, the U.S. champion would have been second to the world champion, which means he would have been the number one contender. Kind of like the WWE, the Intercontinental champion would have been the number one contender to the WWE championship, though. So that's how I kind of see things right now. But I also see at some point, you have Barrett as the IC champ. You got Sheamus as the U.S. champ. There could be a possible unification of those championships at some point.
That's a possibility. But, how do you lose your championship in a battle royal? And number two, B here, is how does that look when you win your championship that way? It would have meant more if Sheamus would have beat Ambrose. Maybe the idea is they want to protect Ambrose and they didn't want him to get pinned. But you know, it doesn't do anything for the championship to be defended in a battle royal. It does nothing for the new champion to win his title in a battle royal.
Well, you know, they had to get that belt off of Ambrose. Ambrose was just wearing that championship belt and wasn't ever defending it. So they needed to get it off of him. And the only way is like...
But whose fault is that, though?
It's their fault.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not Ambrose's fault.
No, it's not
fault.
Ambrose.
I mean,
it's not Ambrose's fault, but, I mean, it's
their own stupidity that they devalued it by just letting him hold it and never defending it. And then they get to the point where, well, we can't have Ambrose lose. It's like, well, he never defended it in the first place. What's the point of him even having the championship from day one?
Well, that's true. But Ambrose is in a situation right now where he is in a more high. He's in a more of a high profile situation with Evolution, so he no longer needs to have that U.S. championship belt bringing him down. That's all it is. It's a bring me down championship. It does not have the same luster it did back in the NWA WCW days.
Well, that's for sure.
And the IC belt definitely doesn't have the luster that it did back in the days of the workhorse of Mr. Perfect or Randy Savage or Ricky Steamboat or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels or Davey Boy Smith or the Ultimate Warrior or Rick Rude, Owen Hart. You can sit there and name them all. It doesn't have it. You know, Razor Ramon, it doesn't have it. You know, I mean, Intercontinental Championship couldn't even get on the pay-per-view the last few years, but at WrestleMania 10, two guys went out there and did a ladder match for that championship belt. That's how prestigious the IC championship belt used to be.
Well, last night on Raw, I guess a lot is being set up for potential rematches. It's hard to believe after Extreme Rules they want to do a lot of these rematches on the next pay-per-view, which I think is what called Payback.
Right.
Payback, which I don't know. That name doesn't do much for me. I guess it doesn't name. You know, we've had this argument about names of pay-per-views over the years, and of course the classic one was TNA was going to call a pay-per-view what, Fuel?
Right. Right. They're going to call it Fuel, and it was probably going to be sponsored by Chevron or Shells or somebody.
Well, what was this last pay-per-view? Juicy Pops or something?
Juicy Drop Candy.
Juicy Drops.
Presents Extreme Rules.
And I'm thinking, boy, have the mighty fallen that we're at Juicy Pops as our sponsor now?
And I'm like,
no Skittles, no M&Ms.
Yeah, no Skittles, no M&Ms,
no Snickers.
Snickers,
Juicy Pops.
Juicy Drop. But that's why
I've never even heard of them.
I never heard of them either. But the thing is that I look at Payback, and I'm thinking to myself, why the hell don't they just dust off and try it again? Why don't they just dust off the Great American Bash or something, or Bash the Beach? You know,
well, now might be the time when you're bringing back all these old shows on the network. That might be a time to try one of those old things.
Exactly. How, you know, I mean,
it can't hurt.
It can't hurt. I mean, Battleground, if you want to do Battleground, it should be Battleground featuring War Games. Hey.
Or a Hell in the Cell or something.
Hell in the Cell should be changed to Halloween Havoc. They should have the whole spin the wheel, make the deal. That's what that should be. That's what I would do. And it's just not because I'm a WCW mark. It's because it would be interesting for the fans. Because a lot of the names they have for their shows right now suck. I mean, come on, Payback. That was a James. That was a Payback. That was a James Brown song.
That might be the theme song if they're not careful.
Right.
But, you know, last night's Raw, we saw Adam Rose finally made his debut.
You thought. I didn't see it.
Well, I saw parts of the show because mostly I was watching the pay-per-view last night.
Right,
but,
right.
I guess you at least had a thought or two about last night's Raw.
The worst segment that I saw on that show last night, and I was telling you this offline, Brie Bella, if I had money to produce a C-level horror film, Brie Bella would not be the person I would call to star in. Her acting is horrible. That scene last night with her and Brian with the Chrysler 300 and Kane in the back seat. And Kane on top, sticking his hand through the sunroof, trying to get to Brian, and she's screaming. I'm like, man, am I watching Monday Night Raw, or am I watching Halloween? Or am I watching Friday the 13th? That's how I mean, they're trying to do campy horror. It's like first at Extreme Rules, we had The Exorcist with the kid, or we had Children of the Corn. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, now you got Halloween going on right now. And I'm telling you this because there was a Michael Myers chant after it happened. When Kane sat up, they were chanting Michael Myers. So, what the hell is going on, Steve? Seriously, what is going on?
Total Divas Invade Raw.
I mean, Brie Bella, and I'm telling you right now, I believe Daniel Bryan has peaked. I believe he peaked at WrestleMania when he won the belt. his career, his momentum is going to start hitting the crapper real soon as long as Brie Bella is out there as part of his act.
Well, to me, the biggest problem with Daniel Bryan is he has no opponents.
Hey.
I mean, Kane is who you're feuding with?
Hey, and you have Kane, and it's the weakest version of Kane I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how are you going to get over when you're feuding with a guy who should be retired?
It's not necessarily he has to. It's not necessarily that Kane has to be retired. It's just the whole Kane character is damaged.
Absolutely.
It's a damaged. It's like Samoa Joe. It's a damaged goods over there. The whole Kane character is damaged because of all the crap that WWE has done with this guy over the last 10 years. I mean, if you look at Kane back in the day, when he was there when he first arrived in 97, okay, this guy was, you know, I would say Wolf. He was kind of like Michael Myers, you know, indestructible.
Brothers of Destruction were awesome.
Yeah. And that whole suit he had, the original suit and the mask, that was
the music.
That was awesome. But you look at over time, I mean, the last time I was really into Kane is when he first got rid of the mask and he was coming out wearing a black towel, and that was cool. I mean, he still had that same Kane attitude, but then, you know, when you take the mask off the guy, you put the mask back on him, you have a wig sewn on the mask, and then you have him out there teaming with Daniel Bryan, and they're fighting over the tag team belts, and all of a sudden now, Kane wants to put the mask on, and he's the Demon Kane, and he wants to eviscerate Daniel Bryan. It's just so campy and stupid. It's just really, really stupid material at this point. Because all of a sudden, Kane is just like this badass now. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, you were coming out there wearing slacks, teaming up with the Old Age Outlaws.
Well, you were saying before with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, if it was Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan right now, that'd be more interesting than Daniel Bryan versus Kane right now.
It would be, because it would be something new. I mean, we saw the match. We saw 18 second or whatever it was at WrestleMania 29 between you guys, or 28, whatever it was.
Right.
And the thing about it is that you haven't ever saw the potential of what those matches could be, because they weren't given the opportunity to do that. And then, you know, Sheamus got hurt at that Money in the Bank, and it was partly due to Bryan. So I would think, okay, let's build around that. Have, you know, Sheamus come back, and he wants revenge on Daniel Bryan. He's part of the authority. And let's feud these two together. Let's have some five-star matches. It's better than what they would be doing with Kane. The whole Kane storyline right now is so stupid. It's just garbage. It's just a bad horror film. Wannabe. Is all it is. And the whole Kane, the look that he has right now with the suit he has, and it it reminds me of when he was a tag team champion and all that bad comedy they were doing. That's all it reminds me of. It doesn't remind me of the old Kane from back in the day. If he had a Kane back with that suit from back in the day and the mask, I probably would give it a chance. But this version of Kane sucks. That mask he has is just garbage. Like Abyss. It's just garbage.
You know, we've talked about this a long time. I mean, it just feels like they're always screwing Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And now he is the champion. He has got nobody to work with.
Yep.
I mean, Kane is the best option you can. I mean, maybe part of it's because, you know, Batista doesn't want to work with the guy right now because of his situation. But my gosh, Frank, that's the best they can give me right now is Daniel Bryan versus Kane. For the championship belt of your federation, that's the best match you can give me? And I understand, you know, this is transitional period. Maybe something's bigger planned for SummerSlam, but my gosh, I mean, you got to do something better than Kane right now for the championship. I mean, guy, like you said, he's been the corporate guy, and his character is so watered down, and it's as you said, a bad B horror movie, and I just don't want to see him, A, and B, I don't want to see him wrestle for the championship, so... They got to do something better than this. And I don't know exactly what it is right now, and maybe that's part of the problem is the heel side right now in WWE is kind of weak. But, I mean, heck, put him against Triple H. That's more entertaining. Well, I guess they did that at WrestleMania. I don't know. Maybe they put themselves in a bad situation right now with the heel side being so weak. there's really no natural opponent right now for Daniel Bryan.
No, there is.
So,
I mean, what are you going to do? Go back to Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton? The only person that probably would have been a fresh match, it would have been new, would have been him and Batista. But then it's like, if I'm Batista, why am I going to go job into Daniel Bryan?
How about Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar?
That would be something you could say. You could say that for SummerSlam.
Maybe that's the plan for SummerSlam. Again, then you've got these other shows that you've got to get through.
Right.
That you hit.
You got all these other B pay-per-views. You got two more B pay-per-views before you get to SummerSlam.
So you get a B pay-per-view, you give me a B main event, right? You give me Kane.
Right.
That's the best
thing you can do.
Better than nothing, I guess, right?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like we're going to put Dolph Ziggler in there against Daniel Bryan. I mean, my God, that would be a horrible matchup, right? Or somebody's gonna put Wade Barrett in there, and Barrett be like, I've got some bad news for you. I'm the Intercontinental Champion, which means that I'm gonna beat you right now for your championship. Lord knows they don't want to go back knowing that, you know, the Intercontinental Champion being second to the World Champion. They don't want to do that.
How about Daniel Bryan versus Christopher Daniels?
I would love to see that.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the TNA talent here coming up. But a couple of thoughts, Frank. WWE Network, we saw the Clash of the Champions now be added to the library so people can check out the old Clash of the Champions. That's something that you and I have both talked about, something we'd like to see, you know, being added to the library.
Right.
Well, that's part of the library. I guess they've added some more ECW hardcore TV shows as well. And they're also, Frank, I don't know if you realize this, but they're also offering $250 worth of WWE Shop merchandise if you can sign up your friends and family to subscribe to the WWE Network. So big things going on at the network right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to get as many people as I can because I am going to buy me big gold. So, yeah, I'm going to get a lot of people to sign up.
So what's your thoughts on the Clash of the Champions coming back?
Clash of Champions, I was on the network. I actually, you know what? Take it back. Saturday night, I was checking the schedule for Monday, and I saw that they had the first Clash of Champions on there. So I was like, okay, this is cool. Then I saw they added the second one. I was like, okay, that's cool. Where is the rest of them? Yesterday, I checked the app. All of them are up there. And I'm like, this is cool. This actually gives me something else to watch besides the pay-per-views. But then I'm like, I watched some of them, see, and I'm like, you know, those Bill Watts era Clash of Champions, those are god-awful shows. Those are the ones that you don't want to really watch. I mean, they actually did a Clash of Champions, man, from Center Stage. I think it was the 20th anniversary or something like that on TBS. It was just a bad show. So, other than that, once again, I'm noticing some musical edits that shouldn't be on there because they're not on the pay-per-views. So I'm thinking that they probably have these things already done in the can. And they're just putting them up there now. They're probably going to be pulling some of them down and editing them, putting them back up. But you know, Steve, it's kind of funny because yesterday I read on your website that they fired the guy in charge of programming for the network.
Yeah, the executive vice president, Matt Singerman, has been fired.
Yeah, and he was the guy in charge of all the programming for the WWE Network, and he's now gone. So
interesting.
I think that's a good thing, because I think that there was supposed to be a whole lot more content that was supposed to be on the network that wasn't on the network, and I think they're kind of probably behind.
Oh, I definitely think they're way behind. I think they expect to have more added already.
Yep.
You know, we're hearing more that maybe we're finally going to get some Raws and Nitros. You know, when I saw they added the best of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, all it is like three Hall of Fame inductions and then somebody sitting in the studio introducing each piece.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't take them that long to do. I mean, if they go back and show Raws and Nitros and Thunders, I mean, you take out the commercials, they're not 2 hours, they're not 3 hours long, right?
No, they're not.
So they could have somebody in the studio talk about, okay, on this edition of Thunder, this is 1998, and this is the main event, and this is the... And this is why this match was booked, and this was the storyline going on, and this was the characters. And to me, it wouldn't take that long to do that.
Go back. I don't understand why they don't have a Tony Schiavone come in and actually host
well,
himself.
He did come back to the WWE headquarters there for a while, right?
Right.
So maybe...
and I'm thinking maybe he did some commentary to insert into the show that's going to be launching this summer called the Monday Night War. So I think he might be part of that show. I think he was running for that top 50 WCW DVD that they're going to be coming out with. But I'm talking about just on the network. You know,
right.
It would be kind of cool to have Shivani on there as the host of maybe Thunder or you know, WCW Saturday Night and Saturday Night Vision playing those things. Shivani was the voice of WCW. So he should be there.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was watching that Hall of Fame, all you got to do is have somebody sit in the studio. I think it was Josh Matthews or whoever the generic B announcer is sitting in the studio and just saying, okay, here, this edition of Nitro. This is what was going on in 1997, 1996, and this is what we're going to talk about, and this is the focus of this particular edition of Nitro or Thunder or whatever the situation is. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of those that way, and now we got the Clash of the Champions back, as I said, more ECW, hardcore TV. So maybe they're moving in the right direction, Frank, in increments, but yeah, I think the firing of their executive and head of programming was a sign that maybe the higher ups are not happy with what's currently going on with the network. And all of a sudden, they're offering $250 worth of merchandise if you can sign up friends and family. So maybe they feel a little behind in the subscription department as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of it is also complaining.
Right.
People have been complaining all over. I mean, they said that they were going to be looking at their social media to see what people were going to be saying about the network. A lot of the Facebook mentions on the network are bad. A lot of people are not liking the service. And a lot of people are not liking the lack of content on the network. A lot of people aren't liking the fact that they're getting double charged on the network. A lot of people
streaming issues,
musical edits, a lot of stuff that they don't like. And
there's that stuff in my Roku I still can't get through,
yeah.
Roku, but I can on the WWE.com site.
Right. So
which is ridiculous.
A lot of issues. They say it's better than Netflix. I don't know about that.
I would take Netflix.
Yeah. I don't know about that one. I mean, I like my Netflix and I like my Amazon. So I don't know about that. I like my Amazon Prime. So yeah. I mean, the only thing that you guys have is that, yeah, you got a lot of sports entertainment on there. But hey, you know what? Where is the AWA material at, huh? Tell me that much. I want to see some of the AWA. I want to see these guys before they got to WWE.
Where's the old 605 wrestling show?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the old Saturday nights, huh? Where's the main event?
Mothership, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Where's all that? I mean, they got superstars on there, but I don't want to see superstars now. I want to see it back in the day.
I want to see the Bill Watts stuff too. I mean, they got remember that library was so long to get that Bill Watts library, the Mid-South, and they
right.
finally bought it from his ex-wife, I believe it was.
Right.
And now they have it, and we got this network launched, and we have World Class, and they have ECW, but where's the Bill Watts footage?
Right.
Which I don't know. There's probably a lot of people out there have never seen the Bill Watts stuff, and I only got it, you know, towards the end when it was syndicated in my area, but. When they bring that show on, that's a must-see show. I mean, they had Hacksaw Jim Duggan. They had Dr. Death, the Freebirds,
yeah.
Terry Taylor, Eddie Gilbert.
Ted DiBiase.
I mean, Jim Ross was the announcer by himself.
Butch Reed.
Way before Bell's Palsy. I mean, the guy was just money
yeah.
back in the day. And I mean, when they bring those shows on, you Iceman, King Parsons, Savannah Jack, great wrestlers, great shows, and when that show does come to the network, I would recommend people definitely check
yeah,
it out.
You know, Hacksaw Butch Reed.
Absolutely.
Junkyard Dog.
Jake yep.
St. Roberts.
Legends.
Yep.
The legends came through the Mid-South territory for sure.
And you know, the thing about it, you know, you mentioned Jim Ross there with Bell's Palsy. It's funny because Jim Ross was money without Bell's Palsy, and he was money with Bell's Palsy.
That's well said, Frank. You're absolutely right. Bell's Palsy with Jim Ross is better than 99% of the other wrestling announcers out there.
Absolutely.
Including Micro Call.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, that ties in some questions we have about the past.
Okay.
And We got a couple of questions here. We got our buddy Ravon Adamson with his weekly shout out to us, says great work. And he appreciates us answering his question. He's actually got his cousins now listening to the podcast as well, which
is great
to hear. And, you know, we should probably say that. I mean, if you like our podcast and you enjoy it, tell a friend. Tell a couple friends.
Exactly. Back in the day with Nitro, tell your friend. Click on Gerwig.net and listen to Steve Gerwig and Frank D.
Yeah, see, I've been listening to this podcast. I really enjoy it. And if you enjoy wrestling or some of the old-time wrestling, definitely check out this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, word of mouth, spread the word on social media. Tweet it out to your – I mean, when you see the link to our the audio of the podcast, you know, retweet it on your Twitter. Tell people on your Facebook page, hey, Gerwig.net, the Gerwig Report with Steve Gerwig and Frank D. Interesting show.
Yeah.
So, you know, word of mouth is definitely a good thing. This week he's got a couple questions for us, Frank, as usual here. His first question is, out of the WWE championships in history, and not those that held the title for one day, who do you think was the worst drawing WWE champion of all time? And I think we kind of, if people remember our old hotline back in, 04 or 05, we kind of got into this because I remember somebody said that Kevin Nash was a good drawing champion for WWE of Diesel. And we did the math, and unfortunately for Kevin Nash fans, as champion of Diesel in that time period, Frank, he was like one of the worst drawing champions. So that was the first thought there, that Kevin Nash, I think overall, was like one of the worst drawing champions in WWE history.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Kevin Nash as Diesel was one. I think that a lot of it wasn't his fault. Vince had just came off that steroid trial. Pretty much Turner had acquired a lot of his talent. So they were in the new generation phase. They were in pretty much the remodeling phase of WWF at the time. So, yeah, Nash was the draw. And if I had to put a second guy right quick on that map too, I would probably say Shawn Michaels as champion, 1996. He wasn't drawing well either. And this was at a time when WWF was really getting killed by WCW. So
this is a tricky question because, yeah. I mean, we've had, what, John Cena's been a champion how many times now? Randy Orton has been a champion how many times
too
now?
Many
you
times.
Could say, and you could say, well, The Miz was a champion for a time. You could say, well, when they were the champion, WWE's business was great. But as I've always said, it's that argument of, well, they draw more money today, Frank, than they did in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. You can say that, but the product is not as popular as it was in the Attitude Era. You can draw the money if you want to, but it's not like anybody is clamoring to. I mean, yesterday was Monday. Sunday we had a pay per view. I don't remember everybody clamoring Monday to go, hey, did you see Extreme Rules last night? That's not what it was. I remember back in the day, Steve, if you watch a show like probably Rock Bottom. The Rock Bottom pay-per-view, if you remember, they had two matches on there. It was Mankind versus The Rock for the WWF Championship, and then Austin versus Undertaker buried alive. We were talking about that the next day at school. That's the difference. You draw as much money as you want to. It doesn't matter. In this era, there is no successful champion because the popularity of the product is stale. It's in the crapper.
Well, the business model is totally different today.
Exactly. They have more revenue streams today than they did back
exactly.
then.
Exactly. So, I mean, These people say, well, I don't know why people are so critical of WWE's product. I mean, look at the business. The business is soaring. You can't tell me the product today is better than it was in Attitude Era at times. I mean, and look at the star power they had at the Attitude Era versus what they have today.
Exactly. You had The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin at the same time. You know, you had two huge conglomerates of this organization at the same time. That's never been done before.
This is a tricky question in that, as you said, at the time Kevin Nash was the champion, Diesel.
Yeah.
WWE was in its lowest point business wise. It was right before the Monday Night Wars. It was in a tough financial situation. The trial with Vince McMahon, the government going after Vince over steroids. But I think we did the math. when we had the hotline back in the day, and it ended up Kevin Nash was about the weakest world champion from a business standpoint. But I know people today say, well, John Cena and CM Punk and Rey Mysterio and all the other guys have won the championship at a time when WWE's making whatever millions and millions of dollars versus what they made in the Attitude Era. It's just today's business model is so much different than it was in 1999 or 1998.
Yeah.
Now you think about it, Frank, you can go to your Walmart, you can go to Myers, you can go Kmart, Target, and you can find WWE stuff everywhere. I mean, you can buy party stuff, you can buy action figures, the DVDs are everywhere. I mean, back in the Attitude Era, that just wasn't the case. You might have gone to the videotapes, VHS section, maybe would have found some videotapes, but the merchandising wasn't as prominent as it was then as it is today. I mean, you walk into a retailer now, I mean, you can get your party catered by WWE merchandise.
Right.
You can get the action rings. I mean, if you flick around like Nickelodeon, they advertise the WWE action figures and the ring that you can get and steel cage. That wasn't the case back in 98.
No.
So they went to PG, and you know it's hard to argue that. I mean, we may not like it better, Frank, but business wise, it's worked out pretty well for the company.
It's worked out well for the company, but at a price. Because, yeah, they're making more money now, but they're not the talk anymore.
They've alienated a lot of fans.
Exactly. They've alienated so many people, and they're trying to get those people to come back now with the network. But it's just that, like Steve said, that's a very tricky question. That's actually something, and that's a very good question, as who's the lowest drawing champion. I would say this, we're going to probably have to do a little bit of research on that, to look at today's standards as opposed to looking back at the new generation era. And, you know, we'll probably come back with a different answer. But right now, as it stands, I'm going to stick with Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels. But we'll come back at a later time and reevaluate that.
Yeah, I think my original research we did on the hotline, we came back to Diesel.
Yeah.
Was one of the lowest drawing champions at a time when WWF business was really in the toilet.
Yeah.
Second question is, do you think if Bill Goldberg had a successful WWE run, do you think he would have signed a contract, or do you think his last match with Lesnar was it for him?
You know what? I think if Bill Goldberg had been put in a position where Goldberg would have been the mega star that he was in the WCW, I think Goldberg would still be around today. But Goldberg came into the company at a time when The Rock was on his way out. The Rock did the favor for Goldberg at Backlash. And then, you know, after that, he immediately began working with Trips, and this was during the Triple H Reign of Terror, as they call it, over on Monday Night Raw with Evolution, and Triple H was winning every single match. And it was just overexposure of Triple H. And Goldberg fell victim to that. And Goldberg pretty much, okay, you're a WCW guy, and we're going to make sure that you do not beat the WWE guy. And that's just how the mentality was. Even though Vince McMahon owns the company, even though he owns everything about WCW, they still have that mentality that the WCW workers were never as good as a WWE worker. And they mold the monster Goldberg down. And I think Goldberg was so pissed off, he was so dejected by his treatment in WWE that they treated him pretty much like a jabroni, a scrub. They decided, you know what? At WrestleMania 20, I'm done. And they're trying to court him right now as we speak for WrestleMania next year, WrestleMania 31. And I say to WWE, I say good luck, because there's a lot of bad blood there about how he was treated the last time he was there. You know, he wasn't treated like the monster star he was in WWE. He was just treated like anybody on the roster.
I don't know what bringing him back. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, potential match with Ryback at one time, and when Ryback was hot, you could potentially see it because he was getting some kind of Goldberg chance. But I mean, I think back in the day, people wanted to see Goldberg versus Austin, since you know they both had the bald heads and they both were top stars in their companies. But I don't know if bringing back Goldberg today really means a whole lot.
Goldberg's still a name.
Still a name, but is he going to boost buys for WrestleMania next year?
You know what?
I mean,
is anybody going to boost buys for WrestleMania? WrestleMania is on the network.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
In fact, by WrestleMania 31, it may only be on the network.
Right.
The way things are, I mean, AT&T, UVerse has dropped the pay-per-views. You got what, DirecTV, Dish Network. I think eventually the cable companies will say, you know what, everybody else is dropping, we're going to follow suit.
Right.
So, by next year's WrestleMania, it might be only on the network.
Right.
And that might be when you get that big increase in price, is by next year, WrestleMania.
Well, you know, if they want to charge you $15, you can charge me $15 a month or whatever it is. Just play the damn music.
I don't think you're going to get the music, though, Frank. I think you're going to get the price increase. I'm not sure you're going to get the music.
I'm trying, man. I wrote a letter the other day to the WWE fan services department and their programming department, and I just told them basically, you know, how I felt, and we'll see what happens.
They should just give you the $250 because you complain so much.
I complain because I'm the voice of the voiceless for the WWE Network. You know, I am sick and tired of edited footage when it's supposed to be unedited. I'm really sick and tired. They really put the screw job to us with this one, and I'm refusing to tap out. I'm not going to tap.
There's no quitting, Frank D.
There's no quitting me. When I want something, I can be very persistent. I will get on your damn nerves until I get what I want.
He's not going to pay $5 for a Coke, and he's not going to give this up on the content issue.
Exactly. I'm not going to give up on the content issue at all. It's something that I believe in, and I'm going to keep on fighting until they abide by it.
And then to finish up with Ravon here, he's got a few tag team suggestions for the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. He suggests the Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, Edge and Christian, the world's greatest tag team of Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, the Brothers of Destruction, Kane and The Undertaker, and the APA, Bradshaw and Farouk. Frank, all of them strong teams. I would love to see any of them get on the ballot for the month.
Absolutely, especially the Rockers.
And I tell you what, we don't have anybody inducted twice. You know, we've seen what in WWE where people have been inducted twice. I can think what Ric Flair was solo, and then he was in with the Horsemen. You know, obviously Shawn Michaels is in the Hall of Fame, my Hall of Fame. Edge is in the Hall of Fame. Undertaker's in the Hall of Fame. I think Kane and Undertaker both are in my Hall of Fame. But you know what? If you wanted to see the Brothers of Destruction in as a tag team, I think that'd be tremendous.
Yeah.
They were certainly a dominant force back in the day, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to see these tag teams that Ravon suggests, I think you're soon going to see Ultimate Warrior was the May choice for the ballot for the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. You're going to see it at some point, the Steiner Brothers, because they're very, very close every month. They're going to be a tag team that people can vote on. But any of these other teams here, Rockers definitely belong in the Hall of Fame. Edge and Christian. I'd say Edge and Christian, when we did the tag team tournament for Gerwick.net, Edge and Christian went really far.
Yeah.
And that kind of surprised me. They were, I think, they, in fact, I think they made it to the finals, actually, when I think about it. Strong tag team. If, you know, people want to see Edge and Christian together, inducted into the Hall of Fame, I've got no problems. So we definitely always appreciate the suggestions here. And then, Frank, we actually heard from his cousin. I'm not sure this is the cousin that he was talking about. But is it Euquin Mayo? And if I butcher that name, I apologize. We've been trying to come up with the correct pronunciation. But he chimed in and says, just recently started listening to your podcast. My cousin Ravon got me hooked. And he's got a couple questions for us as well. Number one, do you think if Scott Steiner wasn't an enemy of the state, do you think he would have already be in the WWF Hall of Fame? And I think he just kind of, I don't know, I think maybe the state of wrestling in general right now, he's certainly got a lot of heat with comments he's made. And problem with Scott Steiner, he's made a lot of comments about Triple H, who, of course, now is basically running WWE. But to me, Frank, he should be in the WWE Hall of Fame already.
Yeah, I kind of know what he means by enemy of the state. Steiner has a problem with everybody. Steiner has a problem with TNA.
That's true.
Steiner has issues all over the place. Me, personally, I think that if the New Age Outlaws could make a shoot interview about Triple H, and they talked about Triple H like he was a dog, if they could do that And Triple H should welcome him back with open arms and say, you know what, that's the past, whatever. We're going to hire you guys as agents and even have you come back and you even have a tag team championship run. I think anything is possible. I think Steiner needs to talk to Triple H, talk about the problems, the issues he had when he came to WWE a few years ago. And once those issues are settled, I think we will see Scott Steiner inducted or even the Steiner brothers inducted. Rick Steiner has never said a word publicly about WWE or Triple H. So that's all Scott who said this. I know Scott has a hatred for Ric Flair. He always has. And a hatred for Ric Flair. And I understand that. I don't like Flair myself. But I think that once he talks business with Triple H, the businessman, not even Triple H, once Scott talks to Paul Levesque, everything will be fine. I think Paul is a very forgiving person. I think he takes the same stance as his father-in-law, Vince McMahon, does, as far as handling business. I mean, look at the relationships that he's helped resolve. You know, look at the relationship he did with Bruno Sammartino, with Warrior, with Hulk Hogan, you know, all these different guys. So I think it's very possible that we will see the Steiner brothers inducted. And Scott Steiner should have a job in WWE. Rick Steiner should have a job in WWE. These guys should be working as agents, helping the young guys coming up. Because the Steiner brothers were one of the highest tag teams ever in the history of the business. These guys held the WWE Tag Team Championships, WWE Tag Team Championships. They were ECW. The Steiner brothers have been everywhere. TNA, they've done it all. So they definitely deserve to be on the hierarchy as the Road Warriors.
And that's well said. You know, the Steiner brothers belong in the Hall of Fame. They belong in my Hall of Fame, Gerwick.net. They belong in the WWE Hall of Fame. And, you know, speaking with just tag teams, you know, you were talking about Steiner brothers, and we saw Booker T get in the Hall of Fame. They have to put the Harlem Heat in the Hall of Fame at some point as well.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. You cannot not recognize what a great tag team they were.
Yeah. Harlem Heat dominated WCW tag team scene from the moment they debuted there. And I'm talking about way back in the day when they weren't even Booker T and Stevie Ray. They were just Kane and Cole, Harlem Heat. They dominated there for years, and you can put Booker T in there for his successful accolades as a singles wrestler, but you cannot. You have to recognize Stevie Ray as well, and the hard work that both of them put into Harlem Heat.
So go back to Ravon's list. I think you have to consider Harlem. If you're going to talk about tag team, I think you definitely got to put Harlem Heat in that group as well.
Yeah, I'll put Harlem Heat over to ABA any day.
And then Ravon's cousin's last question is, why do you think WWE has no interest in AJ Styles? I guess it's one of those questions that's hard to come up with an answer for, because certainly we've seen over time Bobby Roode has made calls to WWE. Samoa Joe has reached out to WWE. I mean, Christopher Daniels right now is a free agent. I mentioned him as a possible candidate for title shots at Daniel Bryan. The million-dollar question is, you know, why does WWE have no interest in AJ Styles? And, you know, Frank and I were just debating this offline, and I thought, well, AJ's probably about 40, so we did a quick look at it. And actually, he's 36. He's going to be 37 next month. But, Frank, I mean, 37 years old is pretty young in the wrestling business. A lot of people have achieved great success in their 40s.
Yeah.
I have no answer, and, of course, we should acknowledge it, too, is that AJ Styles has won the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in New Japan. I believe second American since Brock Lesnar
yep.
got the championship. So, I mean, mostly the champions in New Japan history are Japanese born, and yet AJ Styles went over there and won the IWGP Championship, and certainly more prestigious title than the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know, Frank. Part of it is, I think, is the stigma of TNA. They feel that the talent is maybe guilty by association, that it's a dead brand. And of course we did a poll for Frank. Is TNA a dead brand? We ran it on Gerwick.net. 79% agree with Frank D. TNA is a dead brand. So I think maybe WWE, of course, sees that. They figure the talent's dead as well in terms of public opinion. They have to revive a lot of the talent because they've been on a very stale show, very stale roster, etc. And part of it too, Frank, I think it's just they're TNA guys and they're not WWE guys. And we're seeing more of the WWE guys come from developmental. You know, we're pushing Rusev. We've got, Bo Dallas is coming up. Adam Rose is on the show now. You're seeing more and more guys come from NXT, and they even got NXT as a prominent show on the network. So I think that the direction now is to maybe home grow your talents, because obviously the Monday Night Wars are over. There's no formidable second group to really raid talent from. I mean, occasionally they'll get guys from Ring of Honor or TNA when they want them. But for the most part, Frank, I think the talent's going to come from NXT.
Yeah. The thing with AJ Styles is that AJ Styles is what he says he is. He's phenomenal. And I can only imagine just the matches that him and Daniel, that him and Daniel Bryan can be having right now for the world strap are, you know, the matches we could have saw with him and Chris Jericho or anybody. To answer that question, I have no idea why there's no interest in WWE with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is a guy who can still go. Like you said, he's only 36, he's going to be 37 next month, and that's relatively young in the wrestling business. And the guy, I think, just has that TNA stigma on him. And I was talking about earlier, that stigma minus the TNA, that WWE just looks at that company, and they've been around as long as they have, but they've never succeeded at anything. I mean, you have a situation right now where Eric Young is the world champion. It's nothing against Eric Young, but he's a world champion of a dead brand because WWE, you know, put the title on Daniel Bryan. But the difference between the situation is that Daniel Bryan was a comedy act for a few months, and then the people really started getting behind him, and there was a storyline behind Daniel Bryan since SummerSlam of last year up until WrestleMania of how he got that belt. Eric Young came in. He was feuded with, you know, he was you know, trying to find out where Abyss was, you know, Joseph Park and all that stuff. And now he, all of a sudden, he's the world champion. It's just not on the same level. It's not on the same caliber at all. And I don't care how Dixie Charter is about saying that the beard is sort of intellectual property. Women, men have been growing beards for years. It's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah. So, you know, again, Frank, we've talked about this before. I mean, as stale as WWE is, and we know how stale, obviously, TNA is, I mean, they could easily take some of their talent. You got, as I said, you got Christopher Daniels is free. Frankie Kazarian is supposed to be free, I believe, this month. I believe his contract, he's over there in Japan right now.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about Christopher Daniels, you know, going against Daniel Bryan. How about Christopher Daniels against Dolph Ziggler? I mean, there's a lot of new matches that we've never seen before that could liven up the product. And yet, again, I think the mentality in WWE is we're just going to make our own talent. We don't need TNA's talent. We don't really need Ring of Honor's talent, although I guess the guy who's the world champion is a former Ring of Honor guy. But for the most part, you know, we've put a lot of money in the Performance Center. We put a lot of money in NXT, the NXT set. We want it to be a top production. It's on the network. And we want you to see the new talent develop and then eventually coming to WWE television. So I just think their mentality has changed over the years, Frank, where for the most part, minus what Consequences Creed,
sure,
Xavier Woods, Sonny Siaki, I mean, there's a few others that they've signed from TNA. Really, they've left the TNA talent alone over the years.
Yeah, they have. And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
They could have had a lot of guys there. I mean, had these guys taken a bring up that they have down there in development right now at the Performance Center are not going to be nothing anyways. I mean, look how many guys they brought up. It's not like when we had the big OVW rush years ago with guys like Cena and Randy Orton and Batista and Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin and all these other guys. You brought up a lot of these guys from Florida Championship Wrestling or Georgia, the Deep South or whatever. And, I mean, you brought up recently Biggie Langston and you brought up, you know, Wade Barrett and all those guys. And it hasn't worked.
I think they're just going to bring up a lot of guys and throw a lot of things at the wall and see which ones stick. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot of the guys that we seldomly see get pushed out. We saw Ezekiel Jackson got released.
Mason Ryan
got released, a guy we talked about before. Somebody like I could see them get rid of Zack Ryder. They don't do anything with him. Maybe a Curt Hawkins. You know, these guys that get pushed out, and they'll try a bunch of new NXT guys and see what happens.
Yep.
So, and that's just the direction they're going right now. And it's unfortunate because, man, we could think of all kinds of interesting feuds we could do with some of the TNA talent that's out there. I mean, they could bring in Bad Influence, Frank.
Bad Influence would come in and win the tag belts. Bad Influence gets the Usos. Those would be some good matches.
Wow. That'd be a pay-per-view I'd want to see.
Right.
Whatever the pay-per-view is, you put the Usos against Bad Influence.
Yep.
But I just think it's just the mentality right now is that they just want a homegrown talent and they want to find the next stars. You know, it's unfortunate. I think it's really unfortunate, Frank, that when I see the women they hire, and Paige is different because Paige was in Shimmer and she's paid her dues, but a lot of the women they get are just models.
Right.
And there are so many really talented female wrestlers out there. I mean, how is cheerleader Melissa not in the WWE right now? I mean, she was in TNA for a time. How is she not in the WWE right now? I mean, there's so many really talented girls. I mean, Serena Deeb is very talented. I know they had issues with her, you know, previously. How is she not in the WWE right now? I mean, there's just so many really talented women, and yet they still, I just saw they signed another female, and I was like, okay, hopefully it's somebody that I've heard of that, you know, on the indie circuit. You know, it's just another model they bought. Fine. I mean, they found, Kelly and Victoria, what's her name? Alicia Fox.
Right.
From catalogs. Yeah. I guess one day Johnny Ace was looking through a catalog and said, hey, let's sign these girls.
Yeah, but Alicia Fox is really improved.
She is. I can't knock her. And you could even say Kelly was one of the bigger stars from the female side. But it's just unfortunate that the women out there that are trying to break into the business, they're just not finding the path because WWE likes to find their own girls to a certain degree. And
we see how that's working out for them.
It's true. I want to mention that you can follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/Gerwick Report. You can follow me at /Gerwick on Twitter. Frank D, you're on Twitter as well?
That's right. You can follow Frank D at twitter.com/RealFrankDEE. I'm on there. You can hit me up.
Absolutely. We're on Facebook. I'm Steve Gerwick and Gerwick.net. You can always directly email me, which we've gotten some people emailing the show through my direct email, which is fine. BetweenTheRopes@hotmail.com. I've had that email address for forever.
Yeah.
So in fact, a few people said, how did you get that email? I wanted that email address. I've had it since the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a recognizable, very easy to remember, Between the Ropes. In fact, I remember, you know, I talked to people. Like, you talk to people, customer service. What's your email address? I'd say, Between the Ropes. Oh, all one word, right? Yeah, BetweenTheRopes@hotmail.com. So if you want to email us any questions, comments, complaints, if we just want a shout-out, we'll definitely acknowledge you, and we definitely appreciate you listening, supporting us. And as I said before, if you like this podcast, you enjoy Frank D. and I's opinions, definitely spread the word. Tell your friends, tell some family members. Mention it on your Twitter, Facebook, get the word out, and we always appreciate the support, and I always appreciate you listening. And I always appreciate Frank D. Enjoyed this as usual, Frank.
Absolutely, man. This was a blast, and can't wait for the next one.
Absolutely. So again, Gerwick.net for all your wrestling news, GERWECK.net.